Today, we'll recommend an EV for a viewer tired of troubles with his Porsche Taycan, an underwater Nissan Leaf owner looking for a nicer ride, and a Canadian shopping for a second electric vehicle. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 35. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. Hello there, Martin. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So if you're looking for your own battery bargain, send us a one-minute video or an email with a couple short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. So to kick this off, let's kick this off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So you ready to go car shopping?
There we go.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Bert, and he writes, "Hi team, I've currently got a 2020 Taycan 4S with performance battery. I've currently got about 46,000 miles on it. Last year, I purchased an extended Porsche warranty to 96,000 miles as I was planning on keeping it until the Gen 3 Taycan was available. While it's been a super fun cruiser through multiple 5,000 mile national park tours during COVID, I've experienced some recent hiccups that make me long for something that's more reliable and has longer range. Having 300 miles of range would be terrific. I've got a classic 911, and love the size of it. I have loved the road trip touring aspect of the Taycan. The Taycan is a big car, and I've often thought it would be terrific at about 3/4 scale. However, I tried to get a Taycan Sport Turismo in 2023, but all the dealers wanted an extra $20,000. No way. So love your help and thoughts to advise me with my dilemma. It has to be a great driver's car. Suck it up and order a Gen 2 Taycan. Wait for a Gen 3 Taycan. Get a Macan Turbo Electric. Get a Rivian. Keep the 2020 and wait to see what develops. Wait for the Tesla Roadster or another really cool brand. Love the shows and your continued magnificent support of a clean energy electric future. Thanks, Bert." Well, thanks for all that, Bert. That was a lot. So, Bert's got himself a Porsche Taycan 4S with a performance battery. I guess it's a lot of miles on it. Like 46,000 miles is a lot of miles on a Taycan. I was looking at them last night. And I didn't see any on like cars.com with near that many miles. So that's kind of cool that he's really enjoyed it over this time, but I guess it's not really holding up for him, this particular one. So do you have any thoughts, Martin?
Yeah, have a look at your email, but in a couple of paragraphs. You got your extended warranty for another 50,000 miles on your Taycan, and then I wonder if there's a little bit of buyer's remorse going on there, or I wonder if we need to avoid the sort of sunk cost fallacy there of hanging on to something that you don't want, but you've mentioned it, so I guess it's important, but also, you know, you almost need to write that off as a cost in your head of like, we did it. I thought it was, you know, my circumstances changed. Let's forget it and move on. I've had to do that with cars over the years for various reasons. Is it a reason to keep your car? I don't know how much you paid for it. So I don't know if you were, you know, you spent a load of money on it or not. Hopefully it wasn't too bad. And investigate whether that will go with the car. Where have I gone?
Your camera's gone.
Where have I gone?
Where are you? You're like,
where have I gone?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll carry on.
Let's cap on your...
No, okay. I'll turn the camera around and have a look at what it's saying on the back of it. Sure. But you can still hear me. I'll let you give your thoughts for a moment.
Well, okay. So I was looking at this, and so performance electric vehicle. There's a bunch coming, and I mean a lot of electric vehicles are quick and stuff, but not necessarily a performance vehicle. Electrified light vehicles here. Mentions that maybe Lucid Air GT might be the next good choice, and that is a decent choice. And there's some good deals out there to be had on the Lucid Air, on the used market, you know. But I thought so. He was talking about the Taycan's been great for touring, but he would like something smaller, like 3/4 size. So I was thinking maybe the Lucid Air is not quite the right thing. So I thought, Hyundai Ioniq 5 and SE. So let me just pop up that up on the screen there. So these are available. There's not that many available like online yet. So there might be a bit of wait depending on where you order it from or whatever. But yeah, 2025 Hyundai Ioniq 5N SE. So this is the car. It kind of simulates all the gas car sounds. It's got like shifters and it's, you'd think it's kind of a gimmicky, but according to, oh, I'm not even showing it. I thought it was. Hey, Martin, you're back.
Hello. I don't know what I did. Well, I know I do, but something's broken. Yeah.
Right. You look like you're on your iPhone now. You get that iPhone glow.
How do you tell? You're so good. Yeah, so I use a DSLR camera to live stream, and it's for some reason it hasn't charged, and so the battery of that, I should get one of those battery adapters that's kind of like the fake battery terminals that goes to the, you know, hard mains lead, but I just and so yeah, I've quickly propped up my iPhone, lent against my camera, and so hopefully I'm at 100% battery on my iPhone, hopefully this works. But the, if people prefer, I can go back to black if that was a better look. For radio, I know that, so I can do that. But anyway, I thoroughly agree with this. It's a great shout on the 5N.
The problem with it though is that it's like a 220 mile car, you know. It's like, and he was just talking about, you know, he wants to kind of be able to go over 300 miles on a charge. So like with this, you're probably, you know, realistically when you stop the charge, it's going to be under probably 200 miles, like 180 miles, I'm guessing, if you're like road tripping and driving, you know, 70 80. I suspect that it's, you know, you're looking at 180 miles before you, when you, because you're going to stop the charge with like 10% probably. Not everyone stops the charge at 2% battery. I mean, it's nice, but yeah. So that was my first choice. And then, so the other, you know, big bargain out there, of course, is a Tesla Model 3 Performance that everyone knows that car pretty much. It's like the benchmark sort of for me for electric performance vehicles. It's got a great, you know, 2.9 seconds, 0 to 60, 163 mile an hour top end. And it's priced really cheaply right now because you can get the $7,500 federal tax incentive off the price. So I think it ends up being, what is it, like $44,000 or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, the new Performance has got so much sorted that the old Performance didn't have. Now, I know you're not taking this to the track, and I understand that, but the new Performance is still a lot better, and that will be a great option for you. I lent towards the Model S as well. There's seen some crazy depreciation on that. You get almost, you know, nearly new one for some great prices. But again, I don't know what your budget was for this. The Ioniq 5N, also really good. Have a look at the Kia EV6 GT. Because again, not the GT line, but the GT, the proper full fat version. You might like the interior of that. None of those are the Porsche Taycan 4S, which honestly is like, it is stellar. You know how good that is, how good that vehicle is. Now, I don't think you're going to get anything that is well over 300 miles apart from a Tesla. Maybe look at the Model S. Do you need that? You say you want it, but do you really need it? I have a friend who traded in a Taycan for an EV6 GT from Kia. He changed his car quite a lot, and so he knew it was not like, obviously it's not like for like, but he really enjoyed that. I had another friend who had a Taycan, and he sold it just before the prices dipped, and as again, we're talking to you about pricing here, you know your Taycan prices have, that is one of the vehicles that's hit depreciation really hard, and or depreciation's hit it very hard. And he sold his Taycan just before that, maybe 18 months ago, and he went to a BMW i4 M50, or is it M60? Which one was the top one? And
M60,
and really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it because before that he had a Tesla, he had the Model 3 Performance, and so once he'd got used to not having the supercharger network, this is probably around the time they were opening it all up in Europe to others, for others to use and stuff like that. But I remember him saying to me at the time, he's like, the car is just fantastic, like the BMW, great. It's obviously not a Porsche Taycan, and he's like, but man, I really miss the supercharging network from Tesla. Still, like two cars later, so. I think some good options there. There's not an obvious option that's got really high mileage, well over three, apart from a Lucid. But again, that's going to be really quite expensive, even in a used Lucid.
Yeah, I mean, I would go Lucid over Model S actually for the range and the performance driving, because I mean the Model S, especially in plaid, is like fast, but it's not really a driver's car per se. Where I think the Lucid is actually a bit more in that area. So yeah. a couple quick things. I want to spend a little extra time with this particular one, because I was rooting around looking for like a sports car last night, right? And I just stumbled across some of these, or one of these, the Rimac Concept 1 from Manhattan Motor Cars has like apparently a Rimac Concept 1, not the Navarro that's out there now, but $1.6 million. That might be out of Burt's budget. I'm not sure. He didn't really give us a top end budget, but that might be a little bit beyond. He did mention the Porsche Macan, which I thought was a pretty good shout-out, but it's not, and it is a driver's car, but it's like SUV, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I had a hard time getting behind that one. So another like kind of crazy, this is an electric driver's car from Miller's Motors Car. If you don't recognize it, if you're looking at us on the screen, this is a Pininfarina Baptista. So based on the the Rimac Navara.
Yep. Yes.
But I think it's better looking than the Rimac Navara. Sorry.
Yes.
Mate. But it just is. Yeah. But that's that's sad. But it, so. The way out of, you know, and if you can find, and I think there is one of those in the country for sale, you'd have to track it down, but I'm not sure, you know, how much they'd actually want for it. But putting that aside, I did find a couple cars that I really think that you should consider that. I'm going to pop this up on the screen. So the Lotus Elettre is now available in the US. And this is built on the SEA platform from Geely?
I don't know.
But it's a proper car. Like, so Kyle drove this, and he and Alyssa were kind of raving about this. It's like a driver's car. They call it the electric hyper SUV with race car DNA. And it's $107,000. So it's in like the same ballpark as Porsche Taycans, right?
The 4S, so, yeah.
Right. So this is a pretty reasonable deal. Not a reasonable deal, but I mean, for someone looking for a performance electric vehicle, I think this is like a really interesting thing they could try out. Get away from the Porsche. Mm. I mean, Polestar is trying to be the next Porsche, but I think, I don't know if their performance numbers quite stack up to, you know, Porsche performance quite, but this does. I didn't actually write down the numbers, but if that's too SUV for you, if you want to hold on just a little bit, the Emaya is coming as well, and the Emaya is like basically the same drive powertrain, but within a more sports car kind of body. Let's see, find a picture of it here. Yeah, what do you think, Martin?
I didn't know you had these cars coming to you already. So if I did, I've forgotten. Yeah. So fantastic. Right? Yeah, pricing wise, we weren't given a budget by Bert, but all the things you said are true. The build quality, and obviously I built in China. The build quality and the material choice inside the Lotuses from the two people I've spoken to that have bought one. Some of the things that they, obviously the performance and the handling, and it's all a Lotus and it's all brilliant, but they were really impressed with how it's built and how it's put together and how the car feels when you're in it. And I think going from a Taycan, it's a really special vehicle, as you know, to something like this, to something like a Lucid, I do feel that would be a more obvious choice than something like a Model S, which is very impressive in other ways. It's not as impressive. Yeah, like, well, just when, I mean, obviously the performance just tears your face off. Yeah. But when you're in it, and they've done lots, you know, the Tesla have improved their material choice over the years and the feel, but it's still, if you were cross-shopping a Taycan, a Lotus, forget the Ionix and the Kias for now, but also the Lucids, it's just a whole different league in terms of how you feel when you get in that car. The Model S impresses the minute you start to drive the thing. So, yeah. Or charge
it. I'm just typing in electric range. So range is given as 304 to 373 miles battery only. 109 kilowatt hour pack. Yeah, so about 315 miles of driving.
You'd be one of the first people in the world to have one as well. So,
yeah. I mean, cool. so which one did your friend have? Your friend?
It was the Eletra.
Okay. So, I mean, that just sounds so good. So I would say that's, wow. I don't know. That's pretty cool. I mean, it was racking my brain last night. And then
yeah. People always think I'm crazy for preferring the e-tron GT to the Taycan, because people say, but Audi is premium, but you're not buying a Porsche. But there's, you know, everything's subjective. Everything is, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I've always preferred how the e-tron GT has looked and felt than the Taycan. Mm-hmm. The Taycan is a driver's car, and the Taycan, you know, you are being part of, you know, you've got a classic 911, and you are clearly a Porsche fan, and so maybe the Audi e-tron GT isn't for you, but I might make a nice change. Same car, feels different.
You just put me in mind of something here as well. The Audi A6 e-tron is coming soon, and I don't know if it's, and that's would fit in this category as well, I believe, like a kind of like a Model S.
Well, you mentioned the Macan. Yeah, well, also you mentioned the Macan. So there's the Q6 Macan, e-tron. Right? Yeah, so you mentioned that.
Right, same platform as that, but in an Audi.
Very fast charging and half decent performance.
Right, I believe it's 10 to 80 in 21 minutes.
Oh, that's the
minutes.
A6. Yeah, the A6. Yeah, the A6. Is nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's cool. Proper sedan. Yeah, and it's coming. It's not at storage right now, but depending on how long he wants to hold on to his Taycan, probably not that long, but.
Yeah,
this is another one of those options that are coming that should be really good. You know, it's like the Porsche Macan drivetrain or powertrain, but in a sedan, and with like an Audi sedan at that. So
interesting, interesting.
I don't know. I think it'd be a pretty nice GT. I think it'd be a pretty nice car. Pete Glass says an Audi e-tron GT sits out on an inner London street close to me. Oh, Pete Glass coming to us from London, England. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
I assume that's London, England, and not London, Ontario.
It is. Yeah, my man, Pete. Yeah, cool.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so our second email comes to us from Edward, and he says, hello, I wrote you in last year, and you guys read my email on February 6th. At that time, I asked if I should trade in my 2018 Nissan Leaf for a Tesla. I needed more range and a used price tag of $25,000 and under to take advantage of the $4,000 federal tax credit. You guys gave some great advice. I haven't taken the plunge yet, but am ready to. Here is my current situation. I'm still looking to trade in my 2018 Nissan Leaf for either a used Hyundai Ioniq 5, Tesla Model 3, or Y. My dilemma is the Nissan Leaf's trade-in value is only $4,800, and I still owe about $17,000. So there is going to be about $12,200 of negative equity rolling over into my new loan. That's a lot, and most banks won't go for it without a significant down payment to cover the negative equity, which I don't have. Is there a way around this that you guys know of, or should I just keep my Leaf for a couple more years, pay it down some, and then trade it in, possibly in 2026? The only problem with the latter is that the Leaf will accrue more and more miles, and it may be worth less than now. What if the EV credit is not available in 2026? I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place and need your advice again. Keep up the awesome work and love the show. Thanks, Edward. Well, Edward, you mentioned that, what was it say here? Oh, yes. I haven't taken the plunge yet, but I am ready to. Sorry, Edward. No, you're not ready to plunge anywhere right now. That is a lot of negative. I don't know how you managed to do that. That's like $17,000 in still owing on a 2018 Nissan Leaf. I'm not sure how you did that without maybe it wasn't a straight auto loan that you got, or there was some refinancing going on at some point, or I don't know. But man, that's upside down. I don't know. That's a you know, I don't know if you had that expression over there, Martin, upside down and alone.
Yeah, upside down, underwater, things like that, yeah.
Underwater, right, yeah. It's just like the value of the vehicle is not quite what the value of the money owing on it is.
Yeah.
So, like, so just really quickly, I would say, like, hold on to the Leaf and just pay that down, because that's a, you're killing yourself looking at, you know, trying to roll another car on top of that money. It's a, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And you're going to end up paying a lot of interest. And then what you're aiming for as well, Tesla Model 3 or a Hyundai Ioniq 5, great cars, but I think you need to aim a little lower, like Hyundai Kona electric, you know, Chevy Bolt EV. It kind of sucks. It doesn't have the charging. Like those, both of those don't have the charging of the other two, but man, they're just more affordable and it'd be a lot easier to get into. You could get into those like in the low teens at some point. Just get this loan down here. Man, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts at all, Martin? It's
yeah,
tricky. Like, maybe the commenters will have some idea too.
First thing I want you to do, Edward, is get the idea out of your head of changing your car, because that's not happening. That is not happening, my friend. And look, I come from. Let me explain. I'm 45 years old, and I feel like the last couple of cars that I've had in my life have been half decent. All right, we had the Kona. You might say a Hyundai Kona, a one-year-old Hyundai Kona, which I bought from my dad when he passed, or when he had to stop driving because of his medication before he passed, isn't even like that nice a car. But for me, a Kona Ultimate with all the heated and cooled seats and driver, like, that's a nice car for me. And now we have the Polestar 2, which is 3 years old. And for me, that's an incredible car. But we buy our cars with cash. We've never had the nicest car on the street, because that's just the way that either I was brought up, you know, or just the way that we do our finances. Don't get me wrong. I had car finance in my early 20s. I had an Audi TT on the driveway. I felt like Mr. Billy Big Balls. And then at some point I had to change my life. And I was like, I'm always going to be owing somebody money if I don't. So look, I'm coming from that perspective of I've spent a long time to have a nice car in my driveway. And I look around at people driving very flashy cars around where I live in Poole in Dorset. And I'm like, do you own that or are you just paying finance on it? Now, look, I know everyone has finance on their car. I'm not judging. And that's just me. And I'm probably a weirdo. Firstly, you're not changing your car. Secondly, your Leaf is worth more than $4,800. You've been given a trade-in price because you've gone to look at a car of what you want. And that trade-in price is ridiculous. $4,800 on a 2018 Leaf. Now, even the cheapest high mileage, I don't know what Leaf, whether it's S, SLSV, etc. Even the cheapest one is going to be $9,000, $10,000 right. US. Right. I don't know what your mileage is. If it's average mileage, it's probably 12. The Leaf is holding up okay. Like, it's not incredible in terms of residuals. But it's holding up okay. Like, the Bolt's holding up okay. So, I love you, my friend. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of this community. I don't want to be really mean, but please go and get three different valuations independently of what you could sell your car for. I think it would be $12,000. Now, you owe $17,000 on it. I would love for you to spend the next year or two overpaying your loan or paying your finance off so you can get them level. So say in a year or two's time, maybe the Leaf has dropped a little bit to 10K. I'd love you to get your outstanding balance down to 10K. Then you can sell your Leaf because it's going to be six, seven years old. And it's CHAdeMO. But I want you to get out of it evens and then think about how you go driving. And it could be that you have to look at a lease payment as effectively rental. Get one with a very low down payment and be like, right, now I'm renting my car, because there's some amazing EV lease deals out there for Bolts and Leafs, even Arias, which is crazy. The Korean, the Hyundais, crazy good lease deals. But view it as a rental payment. And that I'm not buying a car, and that money is put aside, and you just write it like renting a house or an apartment while you try and save up. But please, please get out of this mindset of playing footsie with finance people who are telling you that your Leaf is worth $4,800 and car dealers who are given you a $5,000 valuation on your Leaf. Oh, my friend, I want you to get out of that world. And if you have to live in it, it's fine because no one's got any money and I understand it and you've got to finance cars and I'm not lecturing. But if you can get out from underneath their you know, keeping you down with their little thumb saying, oh, your car's worth this. It's not, my friend. Your car's worth way more than that. Don't accept a trade-in valuation that low. They're looking to make money off of you and I want you to win. And so please get out of that whole system if you can. And it means you're going to be driving the crappiest car on your street. And I did it for 20 years. And you just got to... Some things suck. Some things just suck. Some things suck. You know what? You know what? It's fine. It's just life.
I mean,
you know, you can't have the nicest car in the street when you're looking at being underwater on car payments. Please get out of that whole system, and then you're going to have you're going to enjoy the next part of this decade so much more.
Good call on that. The value of his Leaf. Yeah, 40. I didn't even click in my head. Like 4,800 is a kind of ridiculously low valuation.
It's not worth that.
Right. Right. So yeah, private sale. If you want to, you know, unload your Leaf to do it, buy a new car or buy a used car. I would suggest buying a used car. Like
you have to get a used car. Yeah, if you're going to buy something, you have to get a used one.
I'm sure he can get something like around like the 10,000, you know?
Easily. You get decent, incredible vehicles. Decent. Yeah. But you are driving a great vehicle. Like a 2018 Leaf is really nice. And you say you need more range. And you know what? This is an EV podcast, and this is batteries included. But if you need more range to do a commute, to go to a job that you need to go to, and it's your, you know, you're charging on CHAdeMO, and you're missing your kids going to bed every night because you're having to stop and charge both ways, then get out of that vehicle, get back into a combustion vehicle for 2 years that you buy for $5,000, get out from underneath these finance people, and then start again with an EV. But don't be being told your car's worth $4,800 because you walk and you want the latest, greatest, shiny thing. And that's actually the next email as well that we'll get to. But it's like, man, please just be happy with driving the Leaf 2018 is a great, great vehicle for you. You know, you're so lucky to have that.
So while we're talking about Leafs, it just struck me that our colleague Tom Malogny has a video out. And let me see if I can... I don't know if you saw this, because it just came out. I think it was just yesterday. So there is now a CCS1 to CHAdeMO adapter. So I believe that means that Nissan Leaf owners can get this and charge on the regular. Yeah, you can see it here.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Like, go check out the video to see if that's something that might be too expensive. That's obviously an issue, cost. Yeah, go check that out if that's something that might improve your situation with, like, if you're stuck driving the Leaf for a couple of years. So we should move on to our last email real quick. Yeah. It comes to us from Mike, and he says, Hey, guys. I live in beautiful Salmon Arm, BC, Canada. That's British Columbia. And British Columbia is actually the North American jurisdiction with the highest EV penetration. I do qualify for a federal $5,000 ZEV rebate for a new model, but not the provincial additional $4,001 as I make too much money. But there's also a snag in that you pay a 12% provincial sales tax on a vehicle that is waived for used EVs, but not new ones. So I'm thinking used would be the way to go. I need a second vehicle that would be used mostly for short trips around town, to and from work for myself, and to clients' houses for a couple times a week for my wife. There's maybe 6 to 10 trips a year, about 140 kilometers, that's 87 miles, away to Kelowna. But we wouldn't be bringing the two children and two dogs, as we have a Pacifica hybrid for that. I want all the cool things like 800-volt architecture and driver assistant, but recognize I probably will use that very little, as most charging will be done at home and most driving is in town. Budget is Canadian $25,000 to $60,000. So that's 18 to 44 US, with the idea that I'll pay more if I'm not losing a ton of residual value. So I'm of two minds. I've got a responsible Martin side of me that wants value and doesn't want to get the extras that I won't use. But I've also got a Kyle side that thinks all the extra stuff is cool and I really, really want to play with it. So maybe Dom needs to make the call here. I recently drove recently test drove a used 2021 Volkswagen ID.4 in a new Hyundai Ioniq 5 and love them both. My wife thinks Teslas are ugly and Elon is a jerk, so that's out the window. Looking forward to you all discussing my small town Canadian dilemma. Link. All right. So they've got you pegged here, Martin.
Well, as the sensible one. Okay. And that's probably fair. After what I just said.
I need to cough.
Okay, right. Let me pick this up then. So I went, halfway between what you were saying, 25 and 60 Canadian. And yeah, you're right there. You are swimming in Tesla territory. So many used Teslas around that price point, but you don't want one, so that's okay. Where do you want to start with this, Dom?
He test drove a used 21 Volkswagen ID.4 and a new Ioniq 5. So I think if he was going to buy those cars, I would probably go the other way. I would go buy a new Volkswagen ID.4 because you want the 2024, I think. I think it's such an improved vehicle in 2024 that it's just, and looking at the prices of in his area, it just looks like a great deal. So 2024 ID.4 Pro all-wheel drive. Let me see if I can bring this up real quick. Share screen. So this is the configurator for the Canadian Volkswagen site. So you can get all-wheel drive because he's in Canada in Salmon Arm. So I assume he's going to be doing some winter driving. I'm not sure. I mean, I would go rural drive, but I live in Florida. And some people up north can take a rural drive as well. It's just you'd have to have really good snow tires. So I'm not sure if Salmon Arm gets a lot of snow. I kind of feel like it probably does. It's in the, I believe it's in the Rockies. So yeah, probably gets a lot of snow. That comes out to 58. So that's right up against the top of the budget there, right? The 60,000. But then I looked around. There is actually in his available to him a 2024 used Volkswagen. There's not many though. It's really hard to find a used 2024 Volkswagen in the vicinity or available in Salmon Arm. So I found this one online, but it's actually this one's in Vancouver, 317 kilometers away. That's not that far, but it's only $50,000, and plus he saves 12.5% or something, over 12% on the sales tax. So that would be around $6,800, which is more than often if he was buying a new car, he would get the $5,000 credit. So this is buying used, you get even more money back when it's a price something this high. But this is still, $50,000 Canadian. I don't know. That's the new Volkswagen ID.4 angle. Then he could also go Hyundai. If he went Hyundai Ioniq 5, he could get limited all-wheel drive for like the same. Oh, this is a used one I found. I found a used 2024 Hyundai Ioniq 5 all-wheel drive with only 7,100 kilometers on it for $57,208. So that's another option. I don't know. What would you choose between those two cars?
I would go older and cheaper. So your budget was 25 to 60. So naturally, I start at 25 because I'm like, well, if that's the budget, start at 25, obviously, because this is a second car. You're not using it because you got the Pacifica, right? So, but also, let's go through this one, right? So you will use it some of the time. Your wife will use it some of the time to go to clients. So you want a nice enough car to turn up to clients' houses, right? So, then it's a second car. So it doesn't have to do all things, hasn't got to be all things to all people and do everything brilliantly. And also, you say you want all the toys, like 800 volts architecture and lane assist and all that. But do you? I mean, look, the heart wants what the heart wants. And so if you want it, you want it. I'm not going to argue with you, but it's an around town car. So this is like the dream email. I want a second car that I drive around town and charge at home every night. So we're like, great. this is wonderful. And, you know, you could get a Polestar like me because they're very nice. They have got all the toys. And mine got another over-the-air update yesterday morning, which I thought was brilliant. Oh, I didn't know it was coming. It's sort of monthly cadence at the moment, which is it's not quite Tesla cadence, but it's really good. And this either fixed some stuff and added some stuff to the more recent model years. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Update, fantastic. So you get the toys, right? And it, you know, the Polestar charges pretty quickly. You know, 150 kilowatt. Charging depending on when you plug it in, and it suits me. I love the car, so
this one's like $43,800. So not at the bottom of his budget, but like I guess in the middle, pretty much in the middle.
Yeah.
And but it's what's the mileage on this? It's in Coquitlam, so
I bought mine at 40,000 miles. It still fits new to me. So
yeah, this is a relatively low mileage car. Oh, here it is, 19,000. Under 20,000 kilometers, so
that's a great option.
I'm not sure what that is in.
There's loads of great options for you. You're charging the car overnight. You don't need super fast DC fast charging, and you want some toys. I ruled out, only just because I had to find like a line somewhere, anything that was built on a platform designed to do lots of things. So I kind of ruled out the Ioniq, original Ioniq, the Wind Knife, and the Kona and the Nero, all of which would be great for you, by the way. So if you want. And actually, by the time you go from a Kona to an Ioniq 5, it is different. It's a much bigger vehicle. But the software is all pretty much the same. It's just reskinned a bit with some different icons. And so it's not wildly different. But I went with, I would suggest to you, it's get an EV. So something like a VW ID4 is on an MEB platform. It's meant to be an EV. It's going to get updates at some point. The same with Ioniq 5, Kia EV6, please drive those cars. They're meant to be EVs, right? They're built on an EV platform. Yes, you got the 800 volt, which isn't 800 volts, but it's up there. And if you want it, you want it. If you want, look, the Lane Keep Assist is all good on the Konas and Niros, and all of the Hyundai Kia stuff is all, it's all really good. But the ID4, as Dom says, I would steer away from an older one. You sort of want the new ones. They took a while to get themselves sorted out, so I steered away from that. So, yeah, I absolutely went to an Ioniq 5 or Kia EV6 for you. I don't think you'll ever DC fast charge it. So the 800-volt thing is kind of as a moot point anyway, but if you want it, you want it. So that, I would recommend that. And four-wheel drive or two-wheel drive, I don't know what the weather is like for you there, whether you do get some really bad snow, but... and if you do these long journeys, then take your plug-in hybrid.
That's true. I just got one more shout. Just one, because I just saw, I went to cargurus.ca and used Salmon Arm, you know, as my location, and put it out like to 500 kilometers kind of circle, and was kind of looking there, and this thing popped up, and I thought, oh, that's kind of... it's in his budget. It's at the top of it in his budget. But if you're looking at either a Volkswagen ID4 or a Hyundai Ioniq 5, and this is like the same price, this might be, you know, worth. Especially if your wife's like a real estate agent. I'm assuming that's what she does. This is shoring up in something like this is, you know, a nice hit of prestige, I think.
Yeah, it's nice.
For those of us who aren't watching this on YouTube, I pulled up a 2024 Cadillac Lyriq Tech all-wheel drive, and it's selling at $58,222 Canadian. It's in Calgary. That's only 369 miles away. Hopefully, you could get there on one charge from Salmon Arm.
I think you and I have diverged on this one, Dom. I would go the other end. I'd go 25. I'd see if my budget's 25. I'd go right down the bottom end and see what. It's a second car. It's an around town overnight charging second car. But hey, I think we've probably gone at this one from different directions. You will get some lovely stuff. I just spent a couple of hours last night on autotrader.ca, kind of learning about the Canadian market, which is a bit of a weak point for me, or it was, and so I'd spent some time researching what prices are going for in Canada and in various areas as well. So, and getting my head around, you know, Canadian dollars and yeah, I think, you know, you can get some great bargains, great vehicles where you are.
Oh, Dave had a great comment for us earlier. He says, I'm behind on the stream, but you pay 5% sales tax on new EVs in BC instead of 12% on both new and used, he says.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if, I guess you do have to pay sales tax. Or maybe there's no sales tax on you. Okay. Mm. Right. There's no sales tax on used EVs, but, and the one for new EVs is only 5% instead of 12%. So there's some savings, but not quite as much as maybe I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah. So anything else?
No, I think that's good. Three great emails this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was fun. We missed a couple of weeks, right? And I've been kind of like missing my, you know, I love this, doing the Battery Bargains show. So if you all are out there and you are looking for an EV yourselves, like send us an email at, this is the right email, right? Battery Bargains at Batteries Included Podcast.com.
Yeah, that'll go, that I've got a divert set up to go straight to Dom's inbox on that one. And so
okay,
you haven't got to highlight it or put anything in the subject line. It'll come straight to Dom, and it's a separate email address just for this spin-off show. And yeah, let's find some more people, some more bargains.
All right, so that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Great to see you. And we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.